Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. As I was in prayer waiting upon the Lord for what He would have me share, He has given me a message which I'll entitle Perfect in Heart. And while we know from the Word of God that none of us are going to be walking on this earth currently in these present bodies in perfect sinlessness, yet a time is coming when we are sanctified and glorified with our Lord that sin will be no more. And while our actions or even our thoughts, our attitudes may not be totally perfect in this lifetime in which we are living, our current time on the earth, yet our hearts can be perfect. And this is what the Lord is seeking after, and we also should seek after that, because that is one way that we can walk in all pleasing to the Lord, that our heart's intentions, everything about our will, our mind, that we are set on serving the Lord, obeying Him, loving Him, and consequently giving Him glory. Now, we know from Scripture, as is mentioned in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verse 24, that the new covenant that the Lord has given us, the Bible's divided into the Old Testament and the New Testament, that the new covenant replaces the old. It is based on better promises. The Word of God says in Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law, basically the old covenant, was our schoolmaster. It was our teacher to bring us unto Christ. And a beautiful example of this is clearly demonstrated in the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 13. And if you recall, this is the episode where two of the disciples were on their way to Emmaus. This was after the Lord had suffered and died, and of course He had resurrected. They were walking along and just sharing all the terrible things that had happened in those last previous days. And it says, in fact, let me just take a little bit of time to read from that chapter. It says in verse 13, chapter 24, 13, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. They talked together of all those things which had happened. And in verse 15, it says, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. So they went walking together. And it says, but their eyes, verse 16, were holden that they should not know Him. What was God's purpose in that? He wanted to demonstrate, before they recognized the risen Savior, the importance of the Scriptures. And He basically said, what are you talking about? And they shared, are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's happened? And they proceed to tell Him that in verse 23, when they didn't find His body, because certain of the women had discovered the tomb was empty, that they had also seen a vision of angels which said He was alive. And so they also said that certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, found it even as the woman had said. And so Jesus responds by saying, O fools, or O foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Because the Old Testament scriptures are nothing but a foreshadowing of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says in verse 27, He began at Moses, all the prophets. He expounded to them from Scripture the things concerning Himself. And so it was getting dark, and they said, oh, don't go on, stay with us. The day's far spent. So He obeyed. He went in, and they were sitting at the table. And as He broke bread, verse 31 says, their eyes were open, and they knew Him. and he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32 says, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened up the scriptures?" And of course, what they did is they quickly went back to Jerusalem and made the report saying, "The Lord is risen indeed." Praise God. So this was the, all the scriptures of the Old Testament foreshadowed the coming of Christ. And we know that in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, Paul writes in verse 11, "When I became a man, I put away childish things." Now, as we look at things in the natural, when a child is born and begins to grow, that child is and should be gently disciplined by the love of its parents. They provide external restrictions, verbally or in other ways, to protect that child and to lead them in the way of righteousness, if you will. But when we become a man, we put away childish things. And we have learned, we go on the basis of the things that we have learned as we grew as a child. And so God is doing that to his people today. He is developing relationship with everyone who has accepted Jesus so that we can grow into a fully manifested and adult child of God, that we should be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And as we grow in perfection, as we become fit to become the bride of Christ, and we do that by following after the Word of God and the law and the rules that are set there, rules of the heart, that it says in the Word, the law of the beloved is in our heart. And what can we say? Nothing's impossible with God. He created everything by the word of his power. He upholds it by the word of his power. But God does have a challenge, and he allowed that challenge to remain in terms of time and eternity, that there is a choice, that, you know, the angels had a choice, and when he created man in his own image, we have a choice. He does not make his creatures robots or autonomons. In other words, we are not programmed as a software program, if you will, to simply obey God and do what he wants. No, he's given us free will. And the will of man is basically the challenge that God has. Because as he reveals himself, love will break down all opposition, and we will willingly enter into a beautiful, loving relationship with him that he has always desired from the very beginning. The Lord in his word is emphasizing over and over again how important we are to him, how great is his love. And of course, that is nothing is greater demonstration of love than the coming of Jesus and his suffering and death on the cross, that we could be restored in fellowship to God. And so, if we're his greatest challenge, well, then the logical conclusion is also we're his greatest joy. Just think about that for a little bit. And so we see the fruit, if you will, the manifestation of that developing relationship between God and man is found in two general areas. We see it externally, in terms of the natural world in which we live. God's people throughout the ages, if you will, especially in New Testament times, are fulfilling the work of the Great Commission. He is raising up particular members of the body of Christ. He places them in leadership, although the entire body of Christ is given the work of the ministry. That's why fivefold ministry is given, to enable the members of the body of Christ to fulfill the work of the ministry, to preach the Great Commission, to exemplify the love of Christ by their attitude and by their actions. And so he's not interested in big names. He moves in revival throughout the world in evangelism. And there is yet an unprecedented harvest to occur before the return of the Lord. There's signs, there's wonders, there's miracles. They've not been done away with at all. And then, of course, That's what we can see and measure externally, but internally, there's a wonderful work that's going on that's only known by the Spirit of the Lord and by those who have God's Spirit, and that is a love relationship that is being expressed. That happens internally. It's not to be observed except the ramifications and the results of that relationship. We see in the Old Testament, there's a passage given in the book of the prophet Amos, verses 9-11, that God in the end times will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen down. And even though we know from Scripture the king of Israel, David, who replaced Saul as he was disobedient to the Lord, his heart was perfect with the Lord. Not his actions. He did sin. He paid for the consequences of that sin. There was uprising and rebellion as a result of his failing to ask the Lord for whatever he desired instead of seeking it his own way in the matter of Uriah. But David represented a totality of worship to God in body, soul, and spirit. Remember, he danced before the Lord with all of his might. And it was not an intellectual religion or relationship, but through his entire being, he expressed his love for God. It was an example to the people of God. And then, of course, God has always sent his prophets, which is God's heart, his will, communicating to his people through the voice of the prophet. And that's just not the established prophets that are written in the Word of God, but in New Testament times, God has given the gift of prophecy that we can understand God's will and be comforted, edified, and exhorted in the way of the Lord. Well, I sort of laid a foundation, and the next few days we're going to look at what it means to be perfect in heart, and I pray that your schedule will permit you to listen on air to the broadcast, or if you're not able to, you can always go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and the broadcasts are there available for your listening convenience. Also, as always, I invite you to write and share your prayer needs. There's a spiritual principle and dynamic, the power of agreeing prayer, and you may have no one who you can share your heart with. No one answers the mail but myself or reads the letters. So I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,